Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. This is how one should regard us. So if someone is looking at your life, this is about you. This is how you should be regarded. As a servant of Christ, that's one. And stewards of the mysteries of God. So a servant, a steward. And a steward of the mysteries of God, which is the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. And then look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, entrusted. In fact, one of the translations of these verses says that a servant and a steward should be found entrusted. And so we are entrusted. A steward is one who is entrusted with the possessions and the properties of another. It is a word which is akin to the idea of being a manager. In other words, as a steward, we don't own the property, own the possessions. We are doing it for another. And as a steward, you have one job. We say to a field goal kicker who misses it, you had one job. You have one job as a steward of Christ, and that is to be trustworthy, to be faithful to God. If you were just writing some synonyms down, and I would encourage you always to take notes, but if you were writing words that mean the same, words like dependable. Dependability, someone said, is the greatest ability. Dependability. But not only dependability, but responsibility, and yes, accountability. It means to have integrity, to have character. Faithfulness. It's a part of that rich cluster of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and faithfulness. This is produced by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, God in us. And we know that God is a faithful God. For example, when we are tempted, and we're all tempted. It's common to all of us. There's a verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Mark it, memorize it. This is a go-to passage in your Bible. No temptation has overtaken you, but that is common to man. God is what? Faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Thank God for the times in my life when I was tempted and God gave me a way of escape because God was faithful. God was there in that moment. But there have also been times when I yielded to temptation, and so have you. So what happens then? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He never fails to forgive. You've never sinned, listen to me, as a believer, and had to say, well, I sinned that time and that's unforgivable. God can't forgive that. Or God wouldn't forgive that. God won't forgive that. No, God is faithful. God is faithful to forgive us our sins when we agree with him that our sin is wrong and confess it and ask him to change our hearts and change our lives. He's faithful every day. We get up in the morning, the dawn greets us, the sun comes up. There's never been a sunset in our lives, but that there has been a sunrise in all the tests and trials of life. We meet his mercies according to Lamentations chapter 3. We meet his mercies every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So God is always faithful. Considering our salvation, I love 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, and it even includes our word of the day, which is in trust. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. I know Jesus. And I am convinced that he is able to guard that day which has been entrusted to me. In other words, in view of eternity, the day we stand before Christ, I know, because I know Jesus, that he is able to hold me, to keep me. I am not saved by my faithfulness, but by his faithfulness. Now, because of the faithfulness of God, we are motivated to live faithful lives, to live trustworthy lives, to live entrusted each day. And today I've picked three categories. I could talk about a lot of areas, arenas in our lives where we are to exhibit this kind of trustworthiness, but I've chosen three. One, trustworthy in our walk. Two, trustworthy in our worship. And three, trustworthy in our wealth. First, our walk. Our walk. I'm talking about our Christian walk. Because you are a follower, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are walking with him. And as we walk with him, we are called to his character, to be dependable, to be trustworthy, to have integrity and honesty in our daily walk. You know, integrity is what you say to yourself and about yourself. Honesty is what you say to others. Honesty is what we are on the outside. Integrity is what we are on the inside, character within. And just as Paul is saying here, let it be said of you, or when people review your lives, let them say, there is a faithful follower. There is a faithful servant and steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because integrity, really, character, has been described as what you are in the dark, what you are when no one is looking. That's trustworthiness. Who you are, what you are, when nobody but God sees. And that's one side of it. But it's also your walk, your character, when everybody's watching. And believe me, people are watching. You're a professed Christian, people are watching you. Your children are watching you, your grandchildren. Your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, your co-workers. Everybody's watching. Do they find us faithful? Second, trustworthy in our worship. Are you faithful to worship with your church family? I'm talking about, with the word worship, I'm talking about all things worship, and that specifically means the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a generation of churchless Christians. That's an oxymoron. But we have Christians who are churchless, who are free-floating like free-range chickens. I never knew what those things were on the menu, but just free-floating. They're churchless. I'm talking about professing Christians who are fringe, not faithful. I got to tell you, as a pastor over 40 years now, I've just never been able to get my mind around this whole thing of being a Christian and being fringe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and not faithful. No accountability, no responsibility, no dependability, no discipleship, not living in community, in fellowship, witness is minimal, prayer life is indistinct. You don't see them regularly. And if you don't, you know, many today, you know, just attend churches and go here and there. And there's a time to attend and visit and pray about where you're going to settle down and be a member of the church. But, you know, at some point, make a decision. The problem is for so many people, if you don't make a decision on that and you're not a member of the church, guess what? You don't have to attend. You don't have to give. You don't have to serve. You don't have to witness, you just hang. And you know what? You're on the take. You're on the take, just along for the ride, like a hitchhiker. You're like that person at lunch every day that never pays. Now, if this makes you mad, you can apologize to me later when you get over it. But you know, I'm telling you the truth. Two kinds of people in life and in the church. They're the givers and the takers. And it's all about consumerism. We consume religious content. Now, we appreciate the opportunity to be online with people watching all over the world. And many of you cannot get here. I mean, you live somewhere else. And many of you are bedridden or you're sick or you couldn't get out. We understand that. That's one reason we do it, is to have an online presence. We have an online pastor and you can connect in prayer and PowerPoint ministry, same way. PowerPoint is our radio and television ministry that ministers to people all over the world, thousands upon thousands of people. But we always say to those who are watching, to those who are listening, find a local church and get active in that church. A screen is no substitute for a pastor and a church and a ministry and being involved. So don't just watch church. Some people watch church the way they watch sports. And you know what? The same result takes place. The people that watch sports, the people who watch church. We become fans. Fans. Fans of the sport, fans of our team, fans of our church. But Jesus never called us to be fans. He called us to be followers, and he called us to be faithful. Faithful. Bud Wilkerson, the great coach of the Oklahoma Sooner years ago, he was describing football as 22 men on the field desperately in need of rest, being watched by 80,000 people in the stands desperately in need of exercise. So what happens if you just watch sports is you get fat, you get flabby, you're a sports watcher. And the same thing happens to you if you're just watching church, in and out, watching a screen. You get fat and flabby spiritually. And when the heat gets on, you're not ready because you have not disciplined yourself and devoted yourself in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, I cannot imagine life without this. I can imagine not coming each week, because that week just might be the week that the breakthrough in my life that I need takes place. And we come, we're faithful, not just when we feel like it, not just when we want to, not just when we have something, don't have anything else to do, not to be entertained, but to worship God and to please God and to be faithful, trustworthy. So are you faithful to your worship, faithful to your church? What would your children say? What would your grandchildren say? They're watching. And their practices and response to church will be much like yours. You need the church a lot more than the church needs you, I assure you of that. Because we all need God's church.
Thanks to the amazing support from generous friends like you, PowerPoint Ministry is celebrating 25 years of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ on the air and online. And at the core of each one of my messages is one thing: the power of Jesus Christ to change our lives. So today, I want to send you a great resource to help you tap into that remarkable power of the gospel. It's the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus. And it also contains a scripture journal. This beautiful journal contains Luke's account of the Christmas story and, of course, the miracles and the messages of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, all a personal and very close look at our Lord's life through Luke the physician. And it will help you focus your heart this Christmas season on the one who came, who lived, who died, and rose again for you. So call the number on the screen or visit us online at jackgraham.org to donate to our ministry and receive the Gospel of Luke Scripture Journal.
One final word, and that is trustworthy with our wealth. Now, when most of people think about steward or stewardship, you think of what? Giving. And yes, giving is a big part of being a faithful steward. It speaks of money and material possessions. But in this consumer culture in which we live, a culture in which the average household now has 10 credit cards, more and more you can just click and punch and indebt yourself rather than entrust yourself. You can indebt yourself to many buyers, sellers rather, and we live in a world which is motivated by money more and more. Some people tell their children, make all the money you can make. That's terrible advice. It's terrible advice to tell anybody to make all the money you can, especially your children. You know why? Because if you tell somebody, make all the money you can, they end up chasing money rather than chasing God. Make money, fine. God's given you gifts, and part of being a faithful steward would be being faithful at your work. That would be a whole other category. First one there, last one to leave. Be faithful in that. But our goal in life is not just make all the money we can. Our goal in life is to pursue Christ and His will. So we have a church filled with, or churches filled with religious consumers. So how do I know? Well, just check on how much people are giving. The average American gives 3% of their income to all charities. 3%. It's actually a little more than I would have expected. Just everybody. Say, well, that's low. Well, how about born again adult Christians? How many of you suppose of born again, say they're born again, adult Christians give their tithe to their church? 8%. 8%. So 92%, ex-nay, out. Say, well, a tithe, what is a tithe? That's 10%, the first 10% of our income as a principle of stewardship in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. A tithe is giving at the basic level. You say, a tithe, that's a lot of money. A 10%, that's a lot of money. That's a lot. Really? A dime out of every dollar for a God, a Savior who gave His life, who gave His all for you? Really? It's too much? So, well, that's all about the Jew in the Old Testament. Well, look, any Jew that would give more under the law than a Christian under grace is a disgrace to grace. We're all called to be generous givers, not entitled, entertained. You know, Christians spend, here's a number, 7 times more on entertainment than they do on spiritual activities or ministries. Not faithful. So we're really like the world when it comes to the way we're spending our money and giving our money. A selfish church cannot reach the world. A selfish church cannot reach people. Our goal is to spread the gospel, to give away our lives, to share Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't need to be just giving a little bit. We need to start with 10%. And Deb and I, we talk about in our family a graduated tithe. That's growing your giving. So you start at 10%. You start there. And then you graduate your giving as God prospers you. And you move to 11%, and you move to 12%, and 15%, and 20%, and on as God would lead you. Now, okay, I see some eyes rolling back in their heads right now. And, you know, sometimes when you start talking about money, people, their blood pressure goes up and they get all excited about that. There's a letter. My friend Kent Hughes quotes a well-known pastor who preached on money. And when the pastor preached on money, it prompted this anonymous letter. I was never so disappointed in a service as I was Sunday, she writes. I have an unbelieving friend that I got to come with me, and what were you preaching about? Money. I can assure you she was not impressed. And why money when there's so many beautiful things to say? You'd better reconsider such messages in the future. Leave money to God, and He will handle everything, believe me. I love this church and usually like the sermon, but that was terrible. Love those kind of letters. And the letter was signed, a Christian who loves to go to church to hear the word. It should have been signed, a Christian who loves to go to church and hear the word, unless it's talking about me and my money. Because you know, we can't be ignorant about this. Jesus taught more about money than any other subject, including heaven and hell put together. It's true. Look it up. Google it. Parables, messages, ministry said so many things about money, and so much of the Bible is about stewardship. Remember, a steward, we don't own it. We're operating it. We're managing it. We're overseeing it. We're like a house manager. We're taking care of the master's stuff. He owns it all. And He's never signed it over to any of us. He just gives it to us as stewards. Are you faithful with your finances? That's the question. And as far as preaching on money, I don't think I do enough of it around here. But let me tell you, I'm not being a faithful preacher if I don't preach to you the whole counsel of God. If I don't preach to you what the Bible says about stewardship and finances, I'm not telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, are you faithful with your wealth? And all of us are wealthy compared to the world, but I've been talking to you a little bit about Read the Red. You know what the red is? There's a red letter Bible editions where the words of Jesus are in red. All the Bible's inspired equally so, but the words of Jesus stand out. They're written in red, recorded in red. So let me read you some of the red in closing this message. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 16. Don't take my word for it, take His word for it. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And watch this. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. People say, you know what? If I was just wealthy, really wealthy, if I had a lot of money, if I had millions, I could be a great giver. I'd be the top giver in the church. No, you wouldn't. You do with a million the same thing you're doing with a hundred or the buck that's in your pocket. That's what Jesus said. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in that which is much. And then He closed verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's why I told you earlier, you can't just tell people to chase money. Because you'll start loving money more than you love God. And you know it's true. Jesus said, where your money is, there your heart will be. You put your money in the stock market, and that's fine. Put your money in your stock market, what do? You check your stocks. Why? Because your money's there. You invest in eternal things, you put your treasure in heaven, your heart will be there. And you care about eternal things. So, I close with two questions. Two questions that every one of us should ask ourselves and answer before God. Number one, can I trust God with my money, with my possessions? Can I trust Him? If I do what He commands me to do, if I'm faithful in my giving, with my money and all things, and by the way, not just 10%, again, not just 10% belongs to God, it all belongs to God. So the way we spend our money, the way we save our money, the way we give our money, the way we use our money, that's all God. So can I trust God with my money? Would He be faithful to me? Has He ever failed you? Has He ever failed to provide for you? He says He won't. He doesn't break any promises. We have a Father in heaven who never breaks His promises. One of the problems we've got in America is this broken down family. It's fatherless America. And it's so many dads in particular who have broken their promises to their kids. But God's never broken a promise. I've decided that I can trust God with everything I have. So here's question number two. Question number one, can I trust God with my money? Question number two, can God trust you with His money? Can God trust you to give generously, sacrificially, faithfully? You are entrusted. And I'm asking you, as you stand before God, can you hear the words? We all want to hear it in heaven. Can you hear it now? Well done, good and faithful servant. Later on in this same passage, the writer Paul talks about, you know, judge no thing before its time. Because when you invest in things, when you plant, you will reap a reward in time. Don't judge it before its time. You trust God with what you give, and a rich reward is coming.
The trustworthiness of a life that is given to Jesus Christ is a powerful thought, isn't it? We as Christians are obligated to go about our Master's business with integrity, dependability, responsibility, and yes, accountability. And our character is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, and faithfulness. And as we learn today, we are the Exhibit A, of the trustworthiness of a faithful servant in our walk and in our worship and in our wealth, whether our wealth is high or low. That is a high calling. And some days it may seem like an impossible burden or duty, and that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word, His Word, the Bible. For the past 25 years, it's been my honor and privilege to teach on PowerPoint about the transforming power of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God's Word. That's why I'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider giving to PowerPoint and helping us continue sharing the compassion of Christ, the love of God with men and women, boys and girls all around the world. For your generous gift, I'll send you a great resource to help you tap into God's transforming power. It's a book that will help you walk with integrity every day. It's called The Gospel of Luke. It's the Bible, The Gospel of Luke, and it's a scriptural journal right alongside. This beautiful journal contains the Gospel of Luke in the beautifully written and accurately translated English Standard Version, and it also has journaling pages that will help you document what God is doing in your life every day. Journaling is a very important spiritual practice. So call the number on the screen or visit us online at jackgraham.org. As you give to this ministry, we'll rush out your copy today. And thank you, as always, for giving generously to help us proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ till the whole world hears.